job and hold this mic for a minute. What is so funny about someone actually dropping a dog on his head? What's wrong with that?
Funny?
That's not funny.
Wait, but you don't understand.
You know what?
This guy caught me at the wrong time.
No, you don't understand. Wait.
Take it back.
No, sabotage! Best Buddies in the business! Watch! Please watch! I'm sorry! I didn't mean to. Yo, you don't understand.
I swear to God, if you ever look our way, smirk or anything, you think...
The minute we come in this building, you go the other way. Guys, money! Guys, I promise. Yo, you want money? I'll give you guys anything.
I need your money.
Yo.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, come on, Earl. That's not fair. Oh, he attacked John Tony. Oh, he hit him. They hit him with the cannoli tray. He's laid out. Without Grim Reaper here, what are they going to do?
What is this?
Oh, heartless. Oh, my God. Handcuffed by Tony. Tony Lo has him. Tony Lo and Joe So Delicia. They handcuffed on Tony and Grim Reaper. There's nothing they can do. Grim Reaper's gone. Come on, just stop. Stop this.
Before we get to anything else,
Joe So Delicia. Look at this. They're just rubbing it in.
I figured to get a couple of minutes to kill, get everybody situated, comfy, and at the same time, for the haters out there, little Q&A with Don Tony. Little did they know, 14 years later. Good evening, everyone. Don Tony here. And I want to thank the person who made this for me tonight. I am not only Deli Man, I'm the Million Dollar Deli Man. I like that. NXT TakeOver In Your House just went off the air. Honestly, there is absolutely no reason why we spend a lot of time on this. Five matches. That's all they advertised. I estimated that our show would start tonight at 10:30 p.m. That's what I told you guys a couple of days ago. Right on schedule. Very predictable night. I got every match correct in the predictions department, as did probably three quarters of you as well. And as we talked about last week, I think Cameron Grimes and LA Knight was the most difficult match to predict as far as the outcome. And when I did my predictions, yeah, I kept teetering back and forth. And at the very end, I said, LA Knight, the million-dollar champion. But let me tell you something. I don't say this that often, but, you know, when someone really grows on me, they definitely deserve to be mentioned a little bit more. And one of the guys that I absolutely despised in NXT was Cameron Grimes. Never liked the character, you know, just never clicked with me. Even when he cut that promo last week on NXT TV, it was more of a heel promo because I don't think he's used to being almost like a clear-cut babyface. But as soon as he mentioned the fans last week, that's when you knew, okay, babyface turn. But Cameron Grimes trying to take chicken shit and turning it into chicken salad, and I think he's finally turned that corner. And tonight, sure, he's had matches before, very, very physical. But tonight, the Cameron Grimes really earned his wings. And this was one of the cases where, even though he lost, he definitely won. Very predictable show, but still a good show nonetheless. I don't know what people were actually thinking was going to happen tonight. I thought the main event whoever produced it, I thought they did a fabulous job. Karrion Kross, and I can't wait till next week's Wednesday Night Dynamite, because Karrion Kross did an interview with Corey Graves and Vic Joseph, I believe, day or two ago. And he talked about the very thing that I've always brought up here on our shows, is that Karrion Kross appreciates people's support. But one thing that a lot of people in wrestling do not like are gushers, hardcore gushers, that just everything is amazing, epic, unbelievable. Let me melt. You know, I'd seen in Ghost, you know, you could mold them into clay and everything. And, you know, when people were telling him, I don't want to talk about it too much today, but there's a reason why I'm bringing it up now. When he talking about, you know, people telling him, oh, you can make it here or you can make it there, way before WWE, you know, it kind of like backfired, because it's like, no, you know, like he's got to show it and he's got to earn it and prove it. He doesn't want to hear people just telling him what they want to hear. He's not one of those that just sits there online and soaks in all the gushing. No, the guy wants it straight. Tell it like it is. 2 weeks ago, Adam Cole handed him his ass in the promo department. But Adam Cole, as I've said 10 times before, Adam Cole had 4 or 5 years advantage mastering himself on the mic. Even though Karrion Kross wrestled in Mexico and Impact Wrestling and Lucha and everywhere else, you know, there was no one there that ever took the time. And I'm not just talking 1 week or 2 weeks, never took the time to really mold and nurture and get, you know, as far as that promo goes. That'll happen in time. Not concerned about that at all. I mean, I talk about AJ Styles as a perfect example. Look at his promos when he first came into WWE. And look at him now. He's fabulous. Daniel Bryan, when he first came into WWE. Now, it's not that long ago with the Nexus angle. I mean, it's a lot that's happened since then, but it'll happen in time. And one thing that I talked about late last week is pay attention to the support to Legado del Fantasma, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne. Notice how I left out Kyle O'Reilly, MSK, and Karrion Kross. Because Kyle O'Reilly, you know, even though he had that tremendous match with Adam Cole, he's got to put a little bit more time in as a singles guy. And it'll come. Kushida. Look at how much time it took. I still think Kushida is the most popular wrestler in NXT. And it came. Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano and Pete Dunne. I mean, the WWE, the NXT, the hardcore fans, not the ones that just pass by, you know, once a week or pass by just to be part of the conversation and then leave. You know, we always catch those usual people that claim they watch NXT on a regular basis. But then when somebody debuts on the main roster and hits some of their moves that we saw week in and week out on NXT, they act like they've never seen it before. But the fans acknowledge what Legado del Fantasma is doing for a year. Santos Escobar, I mean, you people that don't know his Lucha Underground background, this guy is one of the top, upper tier. Karrion Kross has not been in there long enough yet compared to Adam Cole, compared to Pete Dunne. That will come in time. So this main event tonight, if you go back and you watch it closely, two This Is Awesome chants that took place during the main event, Karrion Kross was not in the ring during those two chants. The Fight Forever chant, that was loud across the arena and not piped in. WWE did a horrible job tonight trying to pipe in stuff. Karrion Kross was not in the ring either. That's not his fault. WWE knows, they know that only time and repetitiveness and working out there and performing and performing and performing, that's what's going to get him to that level. You know what gushers to gush when it's not earned and deserved? So they took that match tonight. And you had long spurts where Karrion Kross was not in the match, thrown through the in-your-house door, disappeared for 5-6 minutes, slammed on the announcer's table, disappeared for 5 minutes. They let the guys who have been tearing it up and have this awesome chemistry, they let those guys go tonight more than anything else. That helps Karrion Kross in the end. That in the end, this guy will be much better because of it. And I thought the finish in the match was fabulous. You know, but again, this is not going to happen overnight. And when I read you word for word on Wednesday what he said this week, I mean, you know, you would think, just like what I say about some really over-the-top AEW fans out there and people that actually work in journalism, the way they treat AEW. You know, sometimes when you overgush and you make excuses for everything, you're hurting the very people you're trying to support. Because we're in 2021. I mean, it's not that many years ago where everybody deserved a trophy and everybody needed crayons to draw in a corner and hot chocolate and all this other stuff. That wasn't just, you know, trolling on social media. That actually became reality in schools and other places. You have a giant part of this generation that needs to be coddled, that needs to be emotionally comforted, you know, and don't want to be told like it is. And as long as you don't rock that boat, you're set for life with a bunch of people out there. And those people will never help, or most of the time will not help the people they think they're helping. And I think also people online want to live vicariously through people they see on TV. So they get behind someone that's a badass. They feel like they're a badass too. You know what I mean? And that's true. That's true. I mean, anybody that's my age will remember this. When Rocky first came out, and even Rocky II or Rocky III, maybe Rocky IV, whenever you were home and that fucking theme song for Rocky, Gotta Fly Now, would go on the radio, how many of you out there for some reason just got the urge and you just wanted to start punching raw meat and running and it just pumps you up? Some people, some songs do that to you. So that's my quick thoughts about this pay-per-view tonight. Average pay-per-view at the best, you know, and we'll get into, you know, the matches a little bit. You know, some definitely need to be talked about. But, yeah, adrenaline rush, Austin, you're right. But overall, I thought the pay-per-view was decent. It was decent because we knew what we were getting. We were getting 5 matches. We weren't going to get too much out of that. Now, they did announce that the first Tuesday in July, I think July 6th, I have it written down. I'll double-check it later. Great American Bash. It's going to be taking place on a Tuesday. So I don't know if it's just going to be 1 week or two. But, you know, that'll be good because we're already June 13th. So we're only 3 weeks away from that. So you'll see some nice build. I think coming out of this pay-per-view tonight, the number one thing everybody's going to be talking about is who's going to be the new GM for NXT. Because at the very end of NXT, after Karrion Kross won, if you turn the TV off, you miss something. William Regal was interviewed walking out of the building. And William Regal says that in all the time he's been in NXT, he hasn't seen this much disarray. You know, because they showed fighting in the back a couple of times tonight. William Regal thinks that maybe it's time for a change. So now the big question is, if William Regal is going to step down as the GM for NXT, who replaces him? I know there's been some buzz about Samoa Joe possibly coming back to NXT. I don't know if I want him as a GM. I'd love to see him. I tweeted about it. Month and a half ago, I'd love to see him have a match with Karrion Kross or Pete Dunne or Johnny Gargano or Adam Cole. Take your pick. Daniel Bryan. There was a lot of word. Daniel Bryan may end up doing some stuff in NXT. Could Daniel Bryan be the new GM for NXT? Some of you are saying right now, Shawn Michaels, that's not a bad choice. Not a bad choice at all. So now you have to ask yourself, who's going to be the GM? That's going to be a very fun storyline in itself. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what I think that's the buzz that's going to come out of tonight. But as I said before, the match outcomes were all predictable. There was no way shit. Look, MSK, you know, you give them more time. They won the fans over tonight. Early on, the fans were really behind Legato, but MSK really kicked ass tonight. They're going to be fine. Not worried about them at all. But you know they're not taking the belt off of Bronson Reed this fast. So the minute you make a winner-take-all match, since Bronson Reed ain't losing his title, by default, the MSK are not going to lose their title either. So you know pretty much the outcome of that match. Now, there was a little buzz earlier. I don't know if you saw this. Now, because I added 1,000 people to my followers list on Twitter over the last week, I'm now following 1,000 of you compared to 100 and change a week ago. I follow also Precious Paul Ellering. Because we had the discussion about AOP about a week ago, and then you know you heard some reports, are they retiring this and that? And it was interesting because about a half an hour before NXT's pay-per-view tonight, Paul Ellering goes on Twitter, and he hashtags the WWE Network, which I thought was funny. I'm pretty sure it was WWE Network because, you know, WWE Network is only overseas now. But he also hashtagged NXT and WWE, and he said that the only tag team right now that pretty much mean anything or are the most dominant is AOP. I thought that was a very interesting tweet to post about a half an hour before TakeOver. So I said to myself, and I said to a few people online, you know what? If AOP showed up and left MSK laying, I wouldn't mind seeing AOP versus MSK. You know, it's funny. Everything's with three letters now. AOP versus MSK and NXT's CWC. So I don't know. I found it a very interesting tweet. By the way, love the setup tonight, NXT. TakeOver in your house, pretty much the setup of what we had before. I thought Michael Hayes was going to be the host of this NXT. No, it was Todd Pettengill. And look, it's nice to see Todd Pettengill, but I tell you, if you look at him from the side, you know, because he's growing that little bit of peach fuzz on his chin, to me, he kind of looks like Penn Jillette's brother because Penn Jillette lost a lot of weight. I don't know. Does he look? Yeah, he was playing Karate Fighters with Dexter Lumis tonight. And while they were playing, he's like, so how's everything with the ladies lately? And Dexter Lumis basically grabs the figure, rips the head off, and Todd Pettengill shits his pants. And you won. No Poppy appearance tonight. I know some of you were wondering if we were going to get a Poppy appearance. But like I said, we'll get through this recap pretty quickly, get out of here. Tomorrow night, I'll be up here with Mish, and we could talk a little bit more. We'll let it sink in tonight a little bit, see how the net is going to buzz about the William Regal stuff, and we could just continue the convo tomorrow. Before I get into some specifics, and I'm going to fail miserably because I have to give a little tribute to Naomi Fox tonight, the person who performed NXT's theme. I'm going to have an epic fail in a couple of moments. Trust me when I tell you it'll be an epic fail. But before I do that, I'd like to give a couple of shout-outs to some of our great super chatters. Brian Becerra, can't stick around for a bit. Okay, bye-bye. Roger Roop, no, kidding. He's got to be at work in the morning. Yeah, me too. Who's going to replace Regal and NXT? I don't know. You know, look. Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, those are the first two to come to mind. You know, there's rumors about Aleister Black, AEW might sign him, WWE may bring him back, and this is, I mean, there's so many things going on. I mean, look, whoever it is going to be, it's got to be somebody that, you know, goes along with the theme of NXT. That's why I think Daniel Bryan or Samoa Joe would be fabulous choices. The only thing is, we still want to see both of them in the ring. And once you become the GM, the chances of them really getting in the ring all that much really diminishes quickly. Unless with Samoa Joe, the only thing, I know Samoa Joe wants to work a few more years in the ring. If it ends up being Samoa Joe, the only thing I could think of is they made him an offer he can't refuse, or they guaranteed that he'd have a couple of matches mixed in with this, or maybe just the demand for Samoa Joe isn't what he thought it was going to be. So, you know, those are the two names that come to mind right now. Like I said, TakeOver just ended. So I'm going to let it sink in a little bit. I'll think about it overnight during the day tomorrow. Maybe we'll have some more creative names. Maybe some of you out there will give me some great ideas of some other choices. So we'll see. Roger Rubio. Roger, I apologize. I did, for some reason, your super chat from Friday didn't pop up. I will definitely make sure it's the first one I get into tomorrow with Mish. He thought it was an epic main event. Crowd really added to the story of the match. You know, it's funny. You know, that crowd was fine. That crowd was fine tonight. Some of the matches in some points were way off. Ember Moon versus Raquel Gonzalez early on felt like something was missing. Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight for the first 5 to 7 minutes just felt like a mess. Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez. You know, I predicted that the outcome of the match was going to be like 6 minutes long. I think it might have been 7. You know, and the finish just felt out of nowhere. And I was thinking about this tonight. Mei Yang. Yeah, that's what I call it. Mei Ying. I knew I'd get it right about you. Mei Ying. And the whole storyline is from the Mei Young Classic. And did somebody just like tweak Mei Young from the Classic? Oh, instead of Mei Young, Mei Ying. So we have the Mei Ying Classic today. She takes Mercedes Martinez after the match is over. And, you know, I wanted to see the Vulcan vape. I wanted her to just breathe into Mercedes' face. Instead of the green mist or the red mist, it's just the vape. And I wanted Mercedes to go night-night. But Mei Ying takes Mercedes Martinez right here and throws her into, like, one of the mesh barricades, and she falls between, like, the rampway. And it was fine and everything. But if you looked at it up close, I don't know if any of this ever happened to you when you were a kid, but I had a grandmother and a grandfather, both on my father's side, God rest their souls, that when I was very, very young, and my grandmother never spoke English. My grandfather spoke a little English. My grandmother never did on my father's side. And I can't tell you how many times I would go over their house and she'd do this. She grabbed my, like this. Oh, that's what it looked like. It looked like some grandparent that saw their grandkid maybe a year and a half after COVID that hasn't seen him. Like, oh, like, oh, what are you doing? She didn't go, yeah. It looked kind of hokey, man. I mean, they didn't want to do the choke. That's the thing. They don't want to simulate on TV that you're grabbing somebody by the choke. No, it's got to be here or here or here. Am I lying? Seriously, some of you are saying that that happened to you. Come on. That's what it looked like. So that match kind of fell flat. Opening match was damn good. Thought there was game. Who's next for Cross? I still say Pete Dunne, man. I'm telling you, we need to see it on TV. Pete Dunne, and I'm sorry for using the prop again, but, you know, this is all I have. But pretend this is Scarlett's hands. I know it's a chicken. It's a rubber chicken, you know. And no ideas, goofy podcasters. You know, yeah, you could stick your finger in there, but, you know, I wouldn't. But Pete Dunne, not in real life, but in storyline, Pete Dunne needs to knock Karrion Kross on his ass. And while Karrion Kross is kind of like woozy, and maybe Scarlett like enters the ring and tries to console Karrion Kross, he grabs Scarlett by the hands. That's it. You know, just without the chicken sound. Just snap of fingers. And then when she's screaming in pain, he just looks at the camera and goes, Karrion Kross, that would be nuclear heat in this storyline. That's what I'd like to see. I think that would be an awesome match. But look, There's rumors of other people taking on Karrion Kross. Let's wait and see. I even saw some people that are thinking Keith Lee could make the return. I know we talked about that before, but we got to make sure Keith Lee's 100%. Buffy89 loves all the throwback mentions, including the opening video. Yeah. Little by little, I'm going to start improving, upgrading the video quality, and then we'll pick up what we've been doing on Thursdays. For now, for everybody out there that doesn't tune in on Thursdays, now they get to endure some of yours truly's history. Just for, you know, 2-3 minutes, just to open shit up and everything like that. It triggers the haters, but hey, you know, let them do what they do best, I guess. But thank you, Puffy. I really appreciate that. And, oh, Nero Fay, yeah. You know, in non-wrestling news, I guess Benjamin Netanyahu, Nero Fay is in Israel right now, tuning in here. Loyal supporter of the shows, and he tunes in to get his mind off of all the chaos that's going on in that area of the world. And apparently Netanyahu is... Bye-bye, BB. Look, we'll talk about that on Thursday. We'll get into, I'll be more than happy to do that. In fact, near, you know, the next Q&A for the channel members. By the way, I put the one up today. By the way, for everybody that took part in the predictions contest tonight for that Johnny Gargano plaque, the Triple Crown champion, I'm not going to take it out of the box. I did that earlier, and it was a bitch to put it back in. I just want you to see how big this box is. This is how big the plaque is. It is freaking big. It's not an 8x10 photo, and it's framed. So I'll probably calculate the scores tonight. We'll probably announce the winner tomorrow. And I don't know. I think it might be better to hold off for calls until tomorrow. Maybe we could take a couple if anybody really wants to challenge me a little bit on what I said earlier about the main event or stuff. Maybe we'll take calls tonight, or maybe we'll just hold off till tomorrow. One thing is, we don't need to have a really long show tonight. But now, we got to talk about it. We definitely need to talk about it. Naomi Fox, she performed the theme song for NXT TakeOver today. And I'm not knocking her ability at all. But she decided to go the Milli Vanilli route. And yes, people have lip-synced before. But usually when you lip-sync, you don't do your best Funaki impersonation. And before her lyrics even started, she's on the microphone. Now, I don't want to pull this microphone off and then I can't clip it back on later. But if you pretend this is a microphone, she's like this. And she's not, the lyrics ain't even started yet. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't find any song that could be comparable of what she did tonight. But I found a song that I'm actually allowed to license on the shows. And if I could describe to you, and this is my epic fail for the night, but I'm going to describe to you what Naomi Fox looked like as the lyrics were starting to go on tonight. This is what it looked like. Now, I'm sorry if I'm looking this way. I got to read the lyrics because, unfortunately, I'm not a follower or a fan of this person's music, but it was the only thing I could grab last second. But if you listen to the lyrics, watch my mouth as you hear this.
W's and bang, rolls, that's all I want. All I want is money, power, respect, though. Can I take our foot up off they necks? No. I just saw the duo, yeah, we next, bro. Do not call my phone, send a text.
She's like a second off. One more time. Maybe I'll do it better this time.
W's and bang, rolls, that's all I want. All I want is money, power, respect, though. Can I take our foot up off they necks? No. I just saw the duo, yeah, we next, bro. Do not call my phone, send a text.
That was horrendous. Seriously, I would have popped at the very end if we heard, indeed. It was not very good. Soon as I watched that, I had flashbacks of Milli Vanilli. But at least Milli Vanilli, they did it perfect. Like, whatever you heard is, girl, you know it's true. And they actually did it on point. Girl, you know it's true. Ooh, ooh, ooh. No more Netanyahu. Just joking. So she, epic fail tonight. Epic fail tonight. Todd Pettengill, you know, I don't know why Doc Hendricks pretty much was a no-show. I think Conan Rapp's actually pretty good, believe it or not. I love the beginning of NXT tonight. They did the comparison of what they used to do with the WWF in 1996, I believe it was. NXT, for nearly a decade, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment. Graphic looked the same. Sound looked the same. You know, nice little flashback. I like Todd Pettengill with his 90s references today, thinking he could do highlights with VHS tape, which actually, you know, back in the day it was reel to reel. It wasn't VHS. Funny segment with Hit Row showing up, plugging their merchandise. That guy, Top Dollar, is so freaking fluent. Plugging this hit song that's now on iTunes. And, you know, the guy's just got the gift of gab. I'm not a rapper, Austin. Sometimes, in case you didn't know it, I'm a poet. But let's be honest. Naomi Fox kind of like blew it today. You blew it. You blew it. You blew it. You blew it. I know some people don't know why I'm saying that. Yes, tonight was the largest crowd ever to be at the Capitol Wrestling Center, about 350. And, you know, it's nice to see that many fans back. Yes, it's still a requirement to wear masks indoors. It's really up to the establishment. And look, WWE is going to keep taking further precautions. Here in New York, in about 2 or 3 days, could happen as early as tomorrow, but we think 2-3 days, we're going to hit 70% of New Yorkers that have had at least one shot at a vaccine. And as soon as we hit 70%, pretty much all the restrictions are going to be lifted. You're still going to see certain outlets enforce masks. That's going to be the next controversy. There's going to be a lot of places that are going to still enforce masks, even though they don't have to. And this is going to be like that for a little while. You know, because you got to remember, even though it's only 70% that have one shot, there's also another 10 to 15% that have had COVID that have the antibodies that didn't get vaccinated. So when you're at 80, 85%, you know, right now in New York, we have the lowest positivity rate in the entire country. I mean, we have like, what, 20 some odd million people in New York? And I think only 300 plus were diagnosed with COVID yesterday. I mean, that's almost nothing. It's like for every 100,000 people, that's like one person or maybe a half. No, it's actually half a person. But in some other states, you know, they got to be extra careful. Not everybody is. Look, I heard Jersey is really behind with their vaccinations. You know, that's why I said when WWE was going to go back on the road, even AEW, they really go. It's a big factor was going to be on the current status of, you know, the percentage of vaccination in certain states. It's not just lifting masks. I mean, if you wanted to put it this way, if WWE or AEW wanted to do events in certain states simply because the states lifted mask mandates, they could have gone other places a year ago. It's also precaution for the wrestlers and for the people who work there. And, you know, I got a kick out of it. You know, no disrespect to Dave Meltzer intended, but I saw all these reports today. Oh, the reason why some people in NXT are not being vaccinated. And you think common sense with the United States, what would be the reason why? If I said to you right now, what's the reason why some people in NXT or WWE are not getting vaccinated? You would probably say to me, some people don't believe in the vaccine. Some people don't think it's safe. Some people are waiting it out a little bit more for it to get full FDA clearance, and then they'll get it. So sure enough, what did they say? Oh, well, you know, some of them don't feel comfortable about being vaccinated. They'll get vaccinated once it's clear to say. It's the same shit that reflects society. That's news. That's common sense. So I like that we had 350 people at the Capitol Wrestling Center. And I didn't think there was anything wrong with that crowd today. And yeah, there were parts of the matches that they were awfully quiet. And oh, and I got to say this. And there was 2 points tonight that I made note of it specifically. Something that we were concerned about, and excuse me for one second. It's getting hot in here. I had to put the air conditioner on. Something that we were concerned about. Now, 350 fans, okay, you get away with it. Once you have 10, 15,000 fans, you're not going to be able to do it. It's going to be awfully tough. Unless they enhance. WWE Tonight tried the star chance. And a couple of times, it failed miserably. There were at least two or three times tonight where they started loud chants. And you look at the crowd, and the crowd was not doing it. Do you remember the point where, and the one that stuck out to me the most? Cameron Grimes, when he was climbing the ladder outside the ring, and LA Knight pushed him, and Cameron Grimes jumped on the other structure, and then he dove off and splashed onto LA Knight. This is a Mets jersey. Believe it or not, no BS. No BS. I really can't show you because it's all the way down here. Down where? Down here. This is a legit, authentic, game-worn jersey of Bobby Bonilla. It's actually, I don't know if you could see it. It's authentic. It's authentic. I actually got this as a gift about 20 years ago. This is actually a jersey that Bobby Bonilla wore for the Mets, I think, in spring training in the early 90s. I don't know, it was 92, somewhere around that time. And what they would do is they would cut the top of the jersey, and then it would be considered defective and give it away. Yeah, so I've sold my entire jersey collection. I couldn't sell this one. First of all, I don't know who the hell would want a Bobby Bonilla jersey, but yeah, this, he actually wore this. I mean, you know, what did Kofi say that time? Meat touching meat? His meat. My meat, it's touched his meat. Just not that one. Yeah, it's a real Bobby Bonilla jersey. So anyway, so when Cameron Grimes got tossed off that ladder and he dove onto the other structure and then dove down onto LA Knight, WWE started with their soundboard, a This Is Awesome chant. You look at the crowd, nobody was doing it. After three or four This Is Awesome chants, it immediately stopped because they realized they couldn't get the crowd to chant with them. This happened two or three times tonight, and WWE better stop that shit because it looked awful. There was another point where they started doing NXT, and the crowd was chanting something else. I don't remember if it wasn't the Fight Forever one, but there was a point where they started the NXT soundboard chant and the crowd was doing something else. And it looked awful on TV. And you would hear it immediately cut off on the soundboard. They got to stop that. If you get a small group of people in the building that are chanting something, and I don't even condone this because it kind of like, you know, it falsifies, but, you know, COVID, I could let it go a little bit. But you hear 20, 30, 40 fans going, NXT, even if they can't get any momentum, then you put it, pipe that in a little bit, and maybe you get others to join along with it. But they were trying to push the narrative a couple of times in these matches, and the crowd wasn't going along with it, and it looked awful on TV. It looked awful. By the way, shout out to AS7607. You know, my thoughts are with you. You know, what you told me the other day. I don't know if you actually messaged me. I think you did. Yeah, you know what? I want to mention it now. Soon as she saw Todd Pettengill and Dexter Lumis with karate fighters, I actually, if I had somebody that I could play that with over here, and I don't think she would be interested in that. You had to be a 90s kid, you know, to really get into that. What was the other game, to my great family that are chatting right now, what was the other game, the boxing one that you would do? It wasn't as exciting, but you would box and then the head would just pop up. but it was like a big robotic head. What was the name of that game? So tonight, the sound delay is only like 3 or 4 seconds. I don't think we were going to have any bandwidth issues tonight. Rockin' Sock? Oh, Rockin' Sock'em Robots. Rockin' Sock'em Robots. Go on YouTube, everyone, later, and go click on that if you've never played that game. I can't tell you how many times back in the day me and my friends would play that, and you punch it, and the head would just pop up. I mean, karate fighters was fun too, man. But Dexter Loomis ripping that off, you know, it's collectible, man. Collectible. Those games were awesome, man. I like Pettengill making those appearances. It's really nice to see Pettengill. You know, there's a couple other people from the 90s they could also bring in as well. And again, I thought Doc Hendricks was going to make more of an appearance tonight, but no, we wanted to see the pay-per-view for the wrestlers, honestly. And then we were curious to see if anybody was going to do any crazy moves with the set. But yeah, nice flashback to the 90s, absolutely. So what other tidbits of notes before we start? Oh, by the way, I want to mention this. Bronson Reed, I like his outfit. To me, I think he was, look, they could have said it. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. But to me, it looked like he was paying tribute to Earthquake. I remember a couple of matches when he was part of the Natural Disasters with Typhoon. Earthquake wore a red version of this outfit. But I like it. I liked it. You know, last year you had Bronson Reed with the Bam Bam Bigelow tribute, which was really, really cool. Seeing him wear that, I thought was pretty cool. Again, I was not paying attention to every single word that was said tonight, so I don't know if they said that he wore that to pay tribute, but it looked like he was paying tribute to Earthquake. And Bronson Reed could go, man. That guy, you know, it's nice to see him in the position that he's in. He really is, you know, one of the good guys there. You know, I don't know how far he goes, though, you know, but look, they're keeping him bundled with MSK a little bit. That's sort of the right way to go. But now with this takeover completed, I think Legado del Fantasma needs to move on to something else. And then where does this leave? I mean, you could have Santos Escobar still go at it with Bronson Reed, but I'm not sure if that's the way to go. So Darren is saying that's his regular gear in MSK colors. I don't know, man. If you look at some of the design, though, it looked like a tribute to Earthquake. Maybe I'm just looking into it a little bit too much. Or let me rephrase that. Maybe it was inspired by Earthquake. But the opening match, a lot of fun. You knew that these guys were going to tear it up. You know, the one point where they got legit, this is awesome chance. You had a point during the match where Nash Carter hit an Orihara moonsault to the floor, which then causes Joaquin Wilde to nail Nash Carter with a dive to the floor, which then has Wes Lee hit his dive to the floor, which leads to Raul Mendoza with a dive. And then everybody is wanting to see Bronson Reed, and he did the Tope Suicida. You know, I mean, you know what's interesting? You watch Bronson Reed do it, and it looks like no big deal. Like, you know, he made it out of the ring. It didn't look reckless. It didn't look like it takes that much effort, but obviously I wouldn't be able to do it. But you see other wrestlers, especially in AEW, all doing these tope suicidas, and this person's leg gets caught on the rope, this person's foot did this. And you would think, you know, they don't use special ropes when Bronson Reed is having his match. I mean, you know, the girth of Bronson Reed is a lot bigger than some of the other wrestlers. And yet Bronson Reed, smooth right through. And others, I mean, they just get caught. Those dive down. I mean, it's almost like you light a bottle rocket in the air and then it just like fizzles out, and before it goes up, it goes. But I like the match. There was another part Santos Escobar wants his North American championship back. Not North American. Yeah, North American championship. What am I saying? But Santos had the cruiserweight title. So he wanted the North American championship. He wanted it. Didn't want it back. Wanted it. So he grabs Bronson Reed's title. And you know this was set up for a spot. They had the camera a certain way. And Santos Escobar just looks at the camera and just grunts in like frustration. Next thing you know, Bronson Reed just dives, smashes him through the barricade, part of the mesh. They both go down, and the crowd ate it up. Crowd ate it up. Santos Escobar has it. Has it. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, because if anybody's paid attention, you know, I've been very supportive of Andrade going to AEW. The guy could do it. You know, Andrade made a really important comment last week. He's like, look, my career didn't start with WWE. I came through WWE, but it's not where he made, you know what I'm saying? Like, Andrade was a big, you know, talent before he even went to WWE. But I'm fine with Andrade going to AEW. I'm just concerned how AEW is going to use him, because I don't see what title he could possibly grab from them right now unless they start coming up with new belts. Personally, who knows? Maybe Andrade comes in with his own championship. I know it's been done before, but who knows? But Santos Escobar, if you said to me, DT, you could have either Andrade or Santos Escobar in your promotion, 10 times over, I would take Santos Escobar. The guy, I don't know. It's not just the in-ring and the charisma and the promo and the fact he's a little bit better with the English. There's just something about Santos Escobar that I absolutely love. And Santos Escobar is definitely one of the gems that they have in NXT. And I think almost everybody out there would agree with me. Santos Escobar over Andrade any day of the week. Not a knock on Andrade. Andrade is great, but I think Santos Escobar is better. But he was put through the barricade. And you know what? I'm being a little disrespectful right now. There we go. I download loads of pictures. I might as well show them, right? So Santos Escobar gets squashed, put through the mesh wire area barricade. He's pretty much done for the rest of the match. And you had Raul Mendoza. He went for a dive, but he got greeted with a super kick. MSK with a blockbuster. Bronson Reed pulls his straps down, hits the tsunami splash, and MSK, Bronson Reed, retained their championships. Again, this match was more, let's hit two birds with one stone. That's really what it was. If MSK would have had a tag team match against Legado del Fantasma and Bronson Reed taking on Santos Escobar in two separate matches, I would have seriously considered Legado del Fantasma possibly getting the win tonight. But again, the minute you decided to make the stipulation winner take all, well, you know they're just not going to take the belt off of Bronson Reed this soon for any reason. That, to me, killed the suspension of disbelief. When you really can't predict the winner, those matches are usually the ones you get into more than any other. But they retain their titles. And, excellent match. You know, early on I said to myself, okay, this match is going to be kind of hard to beat, because I kind of had a feeling of how the main event was going to go down. So we'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit further of what I said earlier. Then we had the segment of Todd Pettengill trying to use VHS tape to do highlights and everything. And, you know, a lot of 90s references. Shout out to Marvin. Thank you, my friend. Anybody that ever says, DT, you're right, is a winner in my book. So, So we had Pettengill doing the 90s stuff, trying to, trying to act like, why is this match showing up as number two? Why is this? See, there's always something that's got to screw it up now. Why is this? Oh, don't tell me we're going to have problems with this. Let me refresh this. Hold on. Let's see if we can fix this. All right. Talk to me. There we go. See, that's what I see. Remember Thursday? What was it, Thursday or Friday? For like 2 minutes, there was no sound. That's the challenge when you run the helm. You have to be able to, on immediate notice, something doesn't work, you got to know how to fix it. That's why I'll never be one of those out there that has to sit back and depend on everybody else doing their stuff, because I'd go crazy. I'd go crazy. Right now, it would have been like, leave, motherfucker. I know you're on your honeymoon. The pitcher don't want to advance. The fuck you doing? You're slacking over there. Mish, come on, vamos, or whatever you'd say in his native language. But she's going to say it's English. Let's go. Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez. I enjoyed Xia Li's entrance. You know, to me, it still reminds me of the Mortal Kombat stuff. You know, now I want to see Drew McIntyre and Xia Li, you know, battling with the swords. You know me, if you tune in every Wednesday for 2 months, we were the only show for 2 months, frustrated Xia Li not being used at all. Remember, the last takeover, only last week was the first time we saw Xia Li on NXT since that takeover. 2 months. 2 months. And it was very frustrating because to see where she was before, and if you would have said to me, of all the women coming in from Japan or China, from the Orient, you would have said to me that I would have ended up enjoying Xia Li as much as Io Shirai and others, I would have said, you're nuts. But what a transformation in those vignettes with them being tortured. It was incredible. Then for 2 months, nothing. They can't figure out what to do. The only thing we see is Mi Ying vaping. So as much as I knew Mercedes Martinez was losing this match, I also recognize Mercedes Martinez has had a 20-year career, and I've been privileged to see most of it. And Mercedes Martinez, at this stage in her career, she will get the occasional big win, but she is more there to help elevate the Stars of Tomorrow. She knows that. So I don't think anybody should be frustrated by it. But, you know, the one thing is, and this is, again, I had to set this up this way because I am a huge fan of Xia Li, as I have said week in and week out. The stuff with the sword, I know it's more of a ritual, but some of it I actually laugh at when she's like, I got to get better props. Can't keep doing the chicken. You know what? Now I can't use the chicken. But she's like, all I need is fake snow to flow down. And it was, this is Mortal Kombat. It's Mortal Kombat, you know? But Xia Li's improved substantially. She had a decent 6 minutes with Mercedes Martinez. I know, quit playing with my chicken. That's for you, SoFly. 6 minutes. Pretty much, if you could describe this match in one photo, it's this. That's what it was. Xia Li working on Mercedes Martinez's shoulder. This match went on for a little over 6 minutes. And honestly, the ending of this match came out of nowhere. Mercedes Martinez getting a little bit of an upper hand on Xia Li. Boa pulls Xia Li out of the ring. Mercedes Martinez pushes him aside, and she gets hit with a cyclone kick from Xia Li. And honestly, that cyclone kick looked kind of weak, and Mercedes Martinez just flops, drops like a sack of potatoes. Xia Li pins her. And I'm thinking to myself, you worked on the shoulder the whole match. Maybe a submission move. Maybe they just didn't want Mercedes Martinez to tap. But Xia Li with a cyclone kick to the head, Mercedes Martinez drops, Xia Li gets the pin. And it felt like out of nowhere. I didn't like the finish at all. Then for Mercedes Martinez to get a little bit of her momentum back, Boa gives Xia Li a chair because Xia Li demanded the chair. Boa gives it to her, but Mercedes Martinez intercepts it. And she nails Boa once. Then she hits Xia Li. And I don't know, man, after all that torture stuff, to see Xia Li almost crying in pain from kind of like average chair shots to the back. One even looked like to her ass. You do not fuck with Xia Li's ass, by the way. I don't know, it looked a little weak. But then Mercedes Martinez, you know, you get to special effects, the lighting changes in the building. So Mercedes has her sights on Mei Ying, the Mei Ying Classic. And she's like, I ain't afraid of you, bitch. And she's teasing like she's going to go down there with the chair. She actually hits Mei Ying once. Then Mei Ying goes like this. Mercedes breaks away once. But even when Mercedes went back for the other chair shot, before she even did anything, Mei Ying, like I said, it's like, I call it the grandma greeting. That's what we're going to call me. If that's a finisher, that's Mei Ying's finisher. The grandma greeting. Hey, I miss you. Grabs her here. Throws her halfway across the room. I don't know which one I laughed more at. Roman Reigns throwing Dominic onto a whole bed of cushions or Mei Ying with the grandma greeting. A lot of you agree with me, man. That's what it looked like. You know what I would have been like? Seriously, I'm Mercedes Martinez, and I'm just talking in storyline right now. You imagine going up to Mercedes Martinez in an autograph convention. Oh, Mercedes, I love you. Oh, can I? I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Seriously, Megan. Like, fuck out of here. She's looking at it like, Timothy Thatcher, Tommaso Ciampa cutting a promo, hyping up Tuesday against, yeah, the grizzled young veteran. Soon, I'll be taking my shit break. Soon. Why do I keep looking? Because they always look the other way. Every time, we are the grizzled young veterans. Soon. I don't like them. I turned the corner with Cameron Grimes. I even turned the corner with King Corbin a little bit, believe it or not. I don't think I'll ever turn the corner with the Grizzled Young Veterans. Like I said, one of them looks like he's dressing up for Halloween, his Attitude Era Shawn Michaels. I want him to ring my doorbell. Like, oh, you dressed up as? I'm dressed up as Attitude Era Shawn Michaels. Like this. If you look at him, he looks like Attitude Era Shawn Michaels. He just doesn't have the bulge in his pants. And the other one looks like he tried out for the Dark Order, was like the stunt double for like John Silver or something. And they're like, nah, we're not interested. Am I wrong? Soon. Soon what? Soon. That's like, honey, when are you going to lose the rest of that weight? Soon. Honey, when are we going to get married? Soon. Honey, when are we going to have an engagement party? Soon. Honey, when are you going to take a shower? Soon. I did that like they do that. I'd be at home doing this, playing with the chicken. Soon. I don't know if they should be released, but come on, man. 3 years. Soon. That's like the Spaceballs part in the movie. When did that happen? Just now. Yeah, soon. Well, is soon still soon if we're already? It's like a bad segment of Spaceballs. Sam, his wife is laughing right now. Look, if I could put a smile on your faces at my goofy expense, it's all worth it. Seriously. I love doing this for all of you out there. And in fact, if you're enjoying the show, yeah, we'll do it once. Smash that like button. Like, share, subscribe. Like, share, subscribe. The more you do that, the more it tells YouTube that you're enjoying the show. They recommend it to others. And there's nothing that I like more other than you, your support. There's nothing I like more. It's when a hater pops up on YouTube and is looking for the Jim Cornette experience. and looking for the Solo Monster Sounds Off, and looking for the JD from New York, and looking for the Attitude Podcast, and looking for this. And on the recommendations, they see soon. I love it. I love it. And by the way, I love those guys. And a lot of you have been asking, you know, DT, why don't you do a collab? Collab. I'm like, collab what? And then I looked into it and like, oh, okay. You know, like everybody gets together and yeah, I'm down for it. If anybody out there, pod, wants to do a collab, I'll definitely collab. There's no competition here. So anyway, so we have Ciampa and Thatcher plugging Tuesday, which, you know, by the way, it's Sunday night right now, 11:20. So that means Tuesday is soon. Soon. All right, enough. Next, Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight. By the way, anyone agree with me that maybe Ted DiBiase's security guard should remain security for LA Knight? I think actually if they're NXT up-and-comers, they should be the security for LA Knight. They should protect that title. They should protect LA Knight. They should remain characters. Just thinking outside the box, since nobody thought about it. So, this match, it surprised me. I knew it was going to be good. It surprised me on how much I was interested in seeing this match. I have never been a fan of Cameron Grimes. I tried in the past. I just never liked the guy, never clicked. Even when he was doing his stuff at Impact Wrestling, I never clicked for me. And the segments he was doing, I kind of laughed a little bit with the basketball stuff, but maybe it's just WWE forcing it too much. But I tell you, I can't pinpoint the moment where I said, you know, he's not that bad. You know? And it wasn't last week's promo, because a couple of weeks, I'm like, you know what? All right, I don't have to change the channel anymore. And as I said at the beginning of the show, even though Cameron Grimes lost this match, he won. He won. It was a phenomenal match. They were using the first 5-6 minutes, it just felt like a mess, that they weren't clicking. And they fought each other before, even in Impact. Oh, trust me, Impact's life support is pretty much what I do at the beginning of my shows. You know, oh, Cameron Grimes and LA Knight are going to fight tonight. Oh, let's find their match from 4 years ago and let's let everybody know. Sign up for our streaming service and you could see them wrestle from 4 years ago, even though tonight was better. You know, they got some history. But first couple of minutes didn't seem to click all that much. Then the ladders started coming into play. And you had some pretty damn stiff moments in these matches. There was one point where Cameron Grimes tried to throw LA Knight into the corner. And LA Knight proceeded to hit Cameron Grimes with a neck breaker. And it looked like Cameron Grimes got hurt, you know, hit pretty stiff on the ladder. But even LA Knight coming down with his arm, he also got it as well. And I agree with you, Chris. LA Knight should be on the main roster. But you know what? You look at NXT, and it's weird because I even brought it up again last week that I think one of NXT's biggest faults is it's not disorganized enough. There's not enough disarray. And then yet they do a storyline tonight where William Regal said, there's so much disarray that maybe it's time for a change. No, I think you need even more hectic stuff going on. But LA Knight is one of the brighter spots of NXT. So I'd rather him be on NXT and have this million-dollar gimmick and hopefully it doesn't fail like the Ringmaster stuff did, then I would rather that than have him go to the main roster. And then, you know, what is he going to do? Have a promo exchange with the New Day? Or, you know, like, where do you see him breaking through against some of those guys? I don't see it. Let him prosper in NXT right now. I think he would be used best in NXT. But they were using those ladders, and there was a lot of stiff moments in this match. You had that one moment, like I said earlier, which was a shame, but when Cameron Grimes leaped off of that stage equipment onto LA Knight, they piped in the fake "This is awesome" chant, and then they did a far camera shot. And you know when they do "This is awesome," they go, "This is awesome," boom, boom. And they hit the plexiglass or they hit the chest. You look at the front camera and this is what they're doing. They liked the spot, but it would look so fake with the soundboard. It was not needed. But in the end, there was a couple of ladders set up outside the ring. The gold ladder was all the way in the back, and Cameron Grimes brought it in the ring a little bit later on. But towards the end of the match, LA Knight tried to powerbomb Cameron Grimes out of the ring, but Cameron Grimes turned it into a hurricanrana. Cameron Grimes shouts to the fans, "To the moon!" They all did. He started climbing the ladder. LA Knight proceeds to climb the ladder as well. That was the spot before. The spot before, because that looked kind of weak. Cameron Grimes climbed the ladder, and then LA Knight did, and there was a couple of weak punches back and forth. But LA Knight at the very end pushes Cameron Grimes off the ladder, and Cameron Grimes leaps off, and you know that son of a bitch hurt. I mean, he went back, flush against a ladder, which was on top of another one, and it just looked painful as fuck. And he just rolled over, and he was out. That was it. He was out, and LA Knight proceeds to climb the ladder, grabs the $1 million belt, and he is your $1 million champion. There you go. Ted DiBiase, thrilled. By the way, you know what? I thought it was that promo that Ted DiBiase... Now, you know Ted DiBiase was reading off a script. I mean, but they did the story of the $1 million championship, and he was talking about NXT and the history and the future and the importance of carrying the legacy on of the $1 million championship. I think they have done an awesome job with making this belt feel more than just a prop. You know, like FTW, when they did that in AEW, like we were curious where they would go with it. Now it just feels like a prop. This feels a little bit more important. Like Ted DiBiase kissed the belt before he gave it to LA Knight. You know, that's legit. I mean, it's passing on that legacy. Now, I didn't forget all of you that showed me those goofs from about a month ago and said, Ted DiBiase is going to give the $1 million belt to Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes is going to be the $1 million champion. I'm telling you, I got it firsthand. Cameron Grimes is going to... Now they're going to go tomorrow and say, the WWE changed it last minute. Cameron Grimes was supposed to be the $1 million champion, but the last minute they went with LA Knight. Because they know Vince McMahon is not going to go on Twitter and say, liar! You're a liar! They don't do that. They don't do that. So that's what you'll see tomorrow. You mark my words. So, shout out to Marvin. I think he said I'm right again. He wanted another shout out. Or unless the chat room is dead, it's the same comment from before. It's all right. This show soon will be done. No, it's just another shout out. Much love. So, LA Knight is your new $1 million champion. And Cameron Grimes over with the crowd. I got to see if they continue this feud or not. But Cameron Grimes, even though he lost tonight, he won. He won. I mean, he killed himself in this match to really put it over. And they really worked hard. And I'm not going to lie to you, man. Not going to lie to you. Maybe by the end of the night, because we only have two matches left to talk about. Maybe by the end of the night, I'll think otherwise. But as of this moment, as I'm talking about it, I have to say Cameron Grimes and LA Knight was my favorite match of the night. And maybe that's because I've been spoiled at watching the chemistry between Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Adam Cole and, Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly, Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly. Maybe we've been spoiled so much with their chemistry that tonight maybe felt a little flat in that main event. They won. Yeah, Cameron Grimes won me over, man. He really did. Great match, man. Really, really, really good match. They made it really mean something. It felt like it really meant something. This match, I wanted to enjoy it. Ember Moon worked her ass off in this match. I got to see more from Raquel Gonzalez. WWE is starting to make a mistake with Raquel Gonzalez, and this is just my opinion. If you look at how Raquel Gonzalez was used for that year, not even a year and a half, the last 6 to 8 months, Raquel Gonzalez was able to counter and, you know, offense, defense, you know, just a lot of counter work. And she was able to learn how to tell a story, and she would follow other people's lead. And now, because she's the champion and because she is dominant in her character, they're now making it almost the opposite of what got Raquel Gonzalez to this point. Ember Moon did spectacular in this match today. You know, to have Dakota Kai get involved a little bit here and there, you expect that. To see Shotzi Blackheart show up and she tries to counter Dakota Kai, you expect that. But the thing is, you know, you basically have Raquel Gonzalez nailing a couple of power moves and the match is over. And that's not what got Raquel Gonzalez to the table. It's not as much of a story being told. You know, when you see Raquel almost getting pinned 2 3/4, 2 1/2, 2 3/4, you know, Dakota Kai, it's taking away of what felt special about Raquel Gonzalez. Look, it's so early. I'm not concerned about it, but I'll tell you why I'm bringing it up now. Who is Raquel Gonzalez going to feud with next? Is it going to be Shotzi Blackheart? And if that happens, now you're talking another 2 3 weeks of this. And ever since she defeated Io Shirai, it kind of feels almost like there's no opponents. Look at the NXT women's roster. They played off Toni Storm wanted a shot at the title. And then she was, what, 0-11 or 0-7 before she got one win? Zoe Stark, they played that off as well. Frankie Monet played that off too. And you're thinking, oh, wow, there's a lot of people. I could see them go. Now you're like saying to yourself, okay, other than Io Shirai with a rematch, like, who do I see Raquel Gonzalez having a great feud with other than maybe Dakota Kai? So how did this all happen all of a sudden? So Raquel Gonzalez is a hell of a lot more dominant, and she doesn't have to be, you know, one move, two moves, Ember Moon, you know, misses the second eclipse, Raquel Gonzalez with the snake eyes, and then the one-arm powerbomb, the match is over. You know, it just, I don't like the, oh, Ember Moon came this close multiple times throughout the match, but Raquel with the move out of nowhere. That kind of takes away from what Raquel can do. And they didn't do a lot of women releases in NXT. It's just, you know, when everybody makes the empty threats about going for the title and then they don't do it, it just feels empty. Just like even Hit Row. I mean, you know they're going to do something with those guys, but them teasing last week that they could go for the, you know, having to stare down with Legado, that they could go for the tag titles, and then the week before, Isaiah Swerve Scott talking about the heavyweight title. You know none of that's happening right now. So, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, but it was funny, Braun Strowman, you know, giving a little bit of love to Raquel Gonzalez tonight, because tonight, after Raquel won, WWE tweeted that Raquel is unstoppable, unbeatable, unrelenting. And Braun actually added to WWE's tweet and said she could beat all the guys in NXT as well. And if you go and check out Braun's Twitter, it's funny. I don't remember the guy's name. I don't remember what he wrote. Hashtag super tiny dick or something like that. So Braun giving a compliment to Raquel Gonzalez, and some, you know, goof on social media is like, oh, Raquel's pecs are bigger than yours or something like that. And then the guy deleted the tweet. So Braun, he knows the tweet delete deal. He screenshotted that motherfucker. After he deleted his tweet, he still had the screenshot. He posted it on there. And he's like, you know, who's the pussy tweeting and deleting? And then he put like hashtag little tiny dick. And now this guy is getting eaten up on social media. Eaten up. But it was cool to see Braun, you know, showing the support. Showing the support. So the match was very good, but the outcome was predictable. And again, I got to see what goes next for Raquel Gonzalez. As much as I like Shotzi Blackheart, I don't know if I want to see Shotzi versus Raquel, because we know what the outcome is going to be there. I think we need to see a little bit of a different feud. Maybe Io Shirai does get the return match. I don't know. Ted Turner, what's going on? Not the real Ted. But so after this match now, we get Karate Fighters. And I'm telling you, I know I said it before, Todd Pettengill looking like Penn Jillette's younger brother. You know, this was kind of a fun segment. And, you know, damn you, Dexter Lumis, for ripping the fucking head off. I'm dead serious. Maybe, you know what? I just thought of it. Maybe I could get two of those Karate Fighters and just put them in the background. I don't know if they would stand out enough, because the background, those figures are kind of small, and we've been doing the bluish background, which makes everything a little darker. But be nice to kind of like morph the back, put a little bit more like 80s, 90s stuff on there. All I really have is, you know, Beavis and Butthead. So, anyway. So, we finished that match. We're told July 6th, Great American Bash. That will be a Tuesday NXT, a special NXT episode. Take note of what I've been saying for 3 or 4 weeks now. Take note, when a lot of people thought that I was going to be wrong when I said WWE was returning with house shows, super shows, I said, take note, nothing has been talked about with NXT. And NXT, other than maybe doing a couple of shows in Florida, because remember, there's people on the NXT roster that never wrestle on the USA Network. A lot of people, you'd be surprised. For some of you out there that are aware of this, you'd be very surprised how many fans out there have no idea before COVID about these tiny NXT shows that they would do with like 100 fans in local areas all across Florida. You know, Omas. You know, people are looking at clips of Omas on YouTube. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, where did this happen? I don't remember seeing them on TV. I'm like, yeah, they do these little house shows also. Are you serious? You'd be surprised how many people don't know that. Yes, I'm wearing my Met jersey tonight. I actually, as my fiance will say to me, this is no joke, she calls me Stinky Winky when I wear like a shirt for too long during the day. I had this on since this morning. I did the members only, YouTube members only Q&A. I did it yesterday, but I think Havili came in with a couple of late questions, so I said, I'll do it over today. It was only about an hour. So I did the show early this morning, posted it, was wearing a Mets jersey again also tonight. I didn't get a chance to take a shower yet tonight. So I go in the other room after we're done. It's not fun to take a shower at 1 o'clock in the morning because I actually wake up even more. But if I don't do it, she'll be like, oh, my God, Stinky Winky, you got to take a shower. And I'll, you know what I'll say to her, right? You all know. Soon. Soon. I actually got to do that. And I got to record it with the phone just to see how her reaction is. It should be like, how fucking old are you? Soon. Great American Bash, July 6th. Okay. Now we go to the main event. And yes, my channel is free of the toxic and, you know, clickbaiting and all the other crap. I forget what they called it. No hate, clickbait. We criticize, absolutely. And we joke, but there's no hate. Tonight, we could add, this is a gush-free episode. Now, I'm not going to repeat everything I said at the beginning of the show, but we talked about the match, the main event, and how they set it up. They know, and thank you very much, Ted. One Fall, everyone else. You know, I am a huge supporter of Karrion Kross. Obvious reasons. You know, it's not just that, you know, the history, you know it, I don't need to say it, but been behind that guy for several years. You know, I still think about what happened to him in Impact, and it's a joke on how little money they held up that guy for. I saw all the papers. He sent it to me because he trusted me I wouldn't show it to anyone else. And he's a homeboy from my neck of the woods. And he used to tune into my shows before he ever got into wrestling. And I hope sometime this year I'll be in Florida, or if they come to New York, I'll shake his hand. You know, maybe get a free autograph out of it. No, but this is the thing, though. And again, I'll read this on Wednesday. But the one thing that I love the most about Karrion Kross is he's old school with the mentality. And believe it or not, I tell you, if you pay close attention to other people in wrestling, not just Bret Hart and the usual people, but you look at a lot of the older Hall of Famers, when they talk about Karrion Kross, they say, that guy's old school. And it's not just the in-ring stuff, and it's not just because of his style, but it's up here as well. And the one thing that this guy knows is that he's not going to be tremendously over with the crowd overnight. And the one thing that I have kept it real on this show for the last 2 months is you need to create a clear-cut identity for this guy. And WWE has made it complicated as well. And I'll give you a great example. We've talked about it before. The day after, or the week after he won the NXT Championship, he cut the promo in the ring. And you had some of the crowd going, fall and pray, fall and pray, fall and pray. Karrion Kross did a babyface move that most babyface will do, is when the crowd is chanting, he will take the microphone like Drew McIntyre did recently. Takes the microphone and he points it to the crowd. And it's his way of saying, I hear you, I appreciate it, let the world hear you. That was a babyface move. Willing to take on all challengers. The following week, he comes out and WWE pipes in crazy amounts of boos. Pipes it in on a soundboard. And I'm saying to him, and I brought it up on the show, but I'm saying to myself at the time, like, why are they doing that? You know, why not build from the week before? So now I'm thinking, okay, well, I guess who he's going to be facing next is going to be a baby face. Then they start teasing interaction. Remember, Johnny Gargano leaves him laid out with Austin Theory. He had a little bit of interaction with Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne. Then the Finn Balor stuff, which was overscripted, because the week before, you had Kyle O'Reilly out there and Pete Dunne. They all wanted it, the heavyweight champion, the week before. A week later, Karrion Kross demolishes Austin Theory, and after he beats Austin Theory, he turns around. Remember, he looks over his shoulder, and Finn Balor's behind him. I knew you would show up. I want to challenge you for the rematch. I want it more than you. And I'm like, please, whoever fucking made that overly scripted, that's just goofy stuff. It was like robots. I am here. I knew you would be here. I want a rematch. I want it more than you do. Then let's do it. And meanwhile, Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne are taking a shit somewhere. They don't show up the following week. Why not? Why not? It looks so goddamn stupid. Then you have the match, and Finn Balor makes Karrion Kross look like $1 million, and Karrion Kross backed it up in the ring as well. And you feel, okay, maybe a little sign of respect, you know, to build on that momentum. No, Karrion Kross wins. Crowd was appreciative of it. Finn Balor just disappears. And then the following week, now, oh, it's going to be this person, it's going to be this person, it's going to be this person. And what WWE knows is whether it's 100 people or 350 in the Capitol Wrestling Center or 40, it's the same fans week after week after week after week. And the one thing that WWE knows is that everybody that's in NXT, those fans appreciate dedication, hard work, and just doing it over and over and over again. We talked about it 4 or 5 weeks ago. Soulfly and others brought it up as well. We noticed it before anyone else. Anyone notice that, you know, crowd seems to be more into Legado than MSK? Anybody knows it? We were talking about that over a month ago. And you could see that the crowd is behind the ones who have been there and week after week after week. And you can't just force Karrion Kross in there. No matter how much people will tweet or say, like, oh, no, my God, put him against The Rock. He should be put him on the Mount Rushmore. For what? So 16,000 live in a crowd could not react? So WWE did not help this guy create an identity. Are you clear-cut heel? You click up babyface. They're trying to make him look like sort of an asshole on TV, and then he does these wonderful interviews online. He looks good. I mean, they're telling cute stories, how he met Scarlett and this and that. He's very educated. He's a great family person. The guy has all the tools. But WWE is sending mixed messages online. So what happens on TV? You get Adam Cole. Adam Cole coming off that epic match with Kyle O'Reilly. Adam Cole, I've said it during COVID. I thought Adam Cole should have been Wrestler of the Year instead of Moxley. I would have been fine with flip-flop. Adam Cole was the MVP of NXT for a couple of years. And fans don't just forget about that. He comes back, cuts a promo. He's got loyalty there. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're changing his music. Because they don't want to, it's almost, I don't want to compare it to the Nakamura stuff, but it's almost like they're forcing people to stop going with that music and the chants and everything else. They're changing stuff up. So Karrion Kross goes in the ring with Adam Cole, and they should have realized that the fans are going to get behind the one who has been grinding for years and years and years, and they do the opposite. And then they put him in the ring with William Regal. William Regal is one of the most beloved wrestlers. And he goes out on NXT TV, could do no wrong. And then what do? Karrion Kross, we want you to tell William Regal in the ring, this is not your show, this is my show. Every fan in the audience is going to be like, are you stupid? It's not his, Karrion Kross' fault. This is what WWE chose to dictate it. So now you do this match tonight, and you realize that how this match is going to work is when you let the guys who have the most chemistry dictate that match. That is why you had three different times tonight where Karrion Kross was not in that match for 3, 4, 5 minutes at a time. You had Pete Dunne and Johnny Gargano. And if you notice, I don't even have to read your notes that I took because you could see how it was played out on TV. And I'm praising the match right now, because this was the only way you could do it tonight because of what they've done with Karrion and Kross the last 2 months. But Johnny Gargano and Pete Dunne they throw Karrion Kross through the door of In Your House. For some reason, Karrion Kross is knocked out cold for 5 minutes. Meanwhile, the other four guys are in the ring, and Cole is going at it with Kyle O'Reilly. And they're doing the exchange. Boo, yay, boo, yay, boo. You know what I'm talking about? Problem is, crowd was cheering Adam Cole and booing Kyle O'Reilly. That's the dedication of those fans. I joked about it on Twitter during the match. Halfway through the match, I said, oh, we know the outcome of the match. We knew Karrion Kross was retaining. There was no doubt. But you know that some people, the goofy gushers, as I like to call them, you knew that they had to have been losing their lunch during this match, because there were points in that match where Karrion Kross was giving everybody suplexes and the crowd was indifferent to it. You had another point where Karrion Kross is outside the ring going after Adam Cole, and Karrion Kross is yelling at you, we're not done. Get your ass over here. And the crowd was behind Adam Cole. When those four guys were in the ring and Karrion Kross was outside the ring, the crowd started chanting, "This is awesome." There was only four guys in the ring at that time. Karrion Kross was still laid out. Then you had another point where I think it was Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole dropped Karrion Kross on the table, and it looked like it hurt, edge of his spine. So he was out again for 4 or 5 minutes. Once again, legit, generic, "This is awesome" chance. He's not in the match. Another part where he got knocked outside and the four guys were in the ring and the crowd started chanting "Fight Forever" and he was not in the match. And basically what WWE did was, because they never made a clear direction for this guy the last 2 months, they took it safe with him today. He got laid out a couple of times during this match, and they would focus, as I said at the beginning of the show, on the four guys that have the most chemistry. That is not a knock on Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross has about this much time in the ring against Pete Dunne. He's got about this much time in the ring against Kyle O'Reilly. He's got about this much time in the ring against Adam Cole. He's got about this much time in the ring with Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, look at their fucking history. Kyle O'Reilly and these guys are just, they gel with each other. And the crowd, there was nothing that you were going to do to have them turn it around. There were a couple of power moves that Karrion Kross did that the crowd, I don't want anybody to think that Karrion Kross, people were shitting on him tonight. It's just that when you put him in certain scenarios with some of the guys in there, the crowd was only going to react one time. And towards the end of the match, there was a confrontation with Adam Cole, or better yet, Pete Dunne and Karrion Kross had a little bit of a confrontation at a stare down. And the crowd, Bruiserweight. And I honestly think Karrion Kross like looked and he was like, "The fuck? This is not his fault. The guy is just fine." The guy had an epic match with Finn Balor. The guy can go. It's just what they did tonight is simple. And it's what you and I talked about 2 weeks ago. What they were going to do was they were going to have Karrion Kross beat four of the top guys in NXT to boost up his resume. That's what tonight was designed for. Let those guys do most of the magical chemistry that gets the "This is awesome" chance and "Fight Forever." Let them do their magic of what they do in the ring. We'll have Karrion Kross have his spots, but in the end, Karrion Kross is just too much. So Karrion Kross wins in this match, and he didn't have to overdo it. Because you don't, right now, you don't want Karrion Kross to go one-on-one with just one of these guys, and the crowd, you know, gets so behind one, and the match doesn't click together. They picked and they choose, and they see what works well. Now we got to see who Karrion Kross's next opponent is. But the finish of the match, and I'm going to take this graphic down for a second because this pretty much spells how it ended. Kyle O'Reilly put a leg submission on Adam Cole. Adam Cole was teasing that he was going to tap. And Karrion Kross locks his submission on Kyle O'Reilly. And Kyle O'Reilly, you know, is still trying to keep the grip on Adam Cole's leg. But Karrion Kross, too strong, too powerful. And Kyle O'Reilly started going night-night. So Kyle O'Reilly is forced to loosen the hold with Adam Cole because he can't keep his composure. Adam Cole is selling that his leg is injured because of Kyle O'Reilly, and Kyle O'Reilly passes out, and Karrion Kross gets the win. And that's how the match ended. I looked on social media immediately after, because I was going live within 5 minutes, and I saw a lot of people were not happy with the outcome of this match. It seemed like most people out there wanted Adam Cole to win or Johnny Gargano to win. And I got to be honest with you, in this entire match, I honestly thought Johnny Gargano was the star in this match. If you actually paid close attention to some of the reversals and the double teams and some of the shit, Gargano is just flat out awesome. That's why, and I'm going to post the picture again. I know we did it 2-3 days in a row, but that's why when I wanted to pick a cool prize for this contest for channel members, I chose this autographed Triple Crown photo. It's framed straight from WWE. And like I showed you that box before, it's like this big. It's huge. And we got a good number too. I think it was number 15. That's the number. But Gargano is great, man. That guy, and let me tell you something. You know who they're starting to really take notice of, the fans? Austin Theory. They're starting to get behind Austin Theory. And this is not about them only cheering heels, because a lot of the names I mentioned tonight are heels. If you think about it, Kyle O'Reilly did not get a lot of cheers from the crowd tonight, but the crowd recognizes those who have been doing the grind for the last couple of years, especially during COVID, and it's going to take some time. I am not concerned in the least for Karrion Kross. He should not lose this championship anytime soon. I think people forget how great his match was against Finn Balor that was only 2 weeks ago. It's just tonight, what this was about was when you look back on his resume, he defeated Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Pete Dunne, Johnny Gargano in a fatal five-way. So now is the time where WWE really needs to take a direction with his character. They have to, and let me tell you something. I know most of you are probably going to say, oh no, Karrion Kross could be a tweener. He could be a tweener, absolutely. But don't expect that crowd to get behind a tweener until he's there another 6 months to a year. Because Kyle O'Reilly is not there at that point. Pete Dunne is already there. Adam Cole is already there. Johnny Gargano is already there. Austin Theory is starting to get there. Legado Fantasma is already there. MSK is not already there. Bronson Reed is already there. You see the pattern? It's not hard to figure it out. You know, you got to be careful of the people online. Just because crowd is not reacting to someone that you like doesn't mean that the crowd sucks. There's reasons behind it. So now WWE really needs to pick a direction for Karrion Kross and stick with it. And my honest opinion, I can't do the chicken across the room. It sounds like a bad joke. Like, what do you get with a chicken across the other? No, but seriously, I think the perfect scenario, I know some people are fantasizing Samoa Joe. Before Aleister Black got released, I wanted to see Aleister Black versus Karrion Kross. I thought that would have been freaking phenomenal. But now people are envisioning Samoa Joe or Daniel Bryan with Karrion Kross. I think you go that route, it's going to hurt Karrion Kross even more. I don't care if there's a sign of respect. I don't care if they team up the week before and fight soon. It's going to hurt Karrion Kross. He needs to fight an asshole. He needs to fight a big-time heel. I personally stick to what I said a couple of weeks ago. He takes on Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne does something to Scarlett with the fingers, teasing that he broke her fingers. You know, and by the way, that was another thing tonight. There was one point where this, I'm going to criticize now a little bit. Go back to the point where Pete Dunne snapped Karrion Kross's fingers. This is the point where Pete Dunne and Karrion Kross had the stare down, and the crowd was chanting Bruiserweight, Bruiserweight, and then Karrion Kross locks a submission on Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne grabs Karrion Kross's fingers, And if you look at it, the crowd is getting pumped up, and Karrion Kross literally on TV is saying, "Don't you do it? Don't do it! Don't do it!" And if you look at it, it looked like a bad cartoon for a second. As Pete Dunne goes to snap it, I have to take my glass off. This Karrion Kross is looking at his fingers like this, like, "Don't you do it? Don't you do it?" Like he just stood there. It looked more like comedy, but towards the end of the match, it looked like he wasn't selling the fingers either. So like I said, this is not his fault. He did what he was supposed to do tonight. They took him out three different times during the match. The guy worked his ass off. I mean, he nailed so many suplexes. At one point, he did that tornado F5. I think to Gargano. He did the tornado F5 to... Hold on. I think he did it to Gargano. And it was beautiful. Yeah, to Gargano. And it was beautiful. Tornado F5, I was like, man, that looked pretty fucking good. And the crowd popped for that. So I think they did exactly what they needed to do tonight. They protected Karrion Kross. They knew Karrion Kross, you know, was not going to win the fans' argument against some of the people in that match. There really was, see, this is the thing. And I'll leave you with this and then we'll end it. There was really nobody in that match that the fans truly can, like, get against to just heal up on and shit out of the building. They appreciate Gargano's work. They appreciate Adam Cole's. They appreciate Pete Dunne's. And they appreciate Kyle O'Reilly's. Kyle O'Reilly is the least one on the list because, you know, he's hasn't had enough exposure as being a focal point by himself. So they didn't, that's probably the one mistake that WWE did tonight. They didn't have that one absolute asshole in the match that the fans do not like. There should have been at least one, and there wasn't. So that's, you know. But again, I think WWE now needs to pick a direction. And I think the direction will be babyface. I think Karrion Kross is too intelligent, looks too good, has the beautiful woman, great backstory. You look at the Q&A that they did leading up to TakeOver, the interviews that he did. WWE has them plastered everywhere. You look at that stuff. How could you not like this guy? You know what I mean? You plaster all of that, and then you try to do the opposite on TV. Fans are so confused. They're so confused. So they got to pick that direction and stick with it. And I think they will. I think they will. So pay-per-view tonight overall, scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 6. I give it a 6. You know, it was 2.5 hours, almost 2.5 hours, so it was pretty long for a pay-per-view. If you actually add up the amount of match time, I think it was only an hour and 20 minutes worth of matches. So I give it a 6 out of 10. The Xia Li-Mercedes Martinez match kind of fell flat for me. The Raquel Gonzalez versus Ember Moon was good, but I think it was just a little bit too predictable. The opening tag match was a lot of fun, but again, I think that stipulation kind of ruined a little bit of the, you know, the suspension of disbelief. I tell you, man, I am still, after all of this, still feeling that Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight was my favorite match of the night because it told a great story. Again, I've been spoiled watching so many matches with those guys in the main event that, you know, the spots were great and the reversals were great and all the interruptions with breaking up the pins, the reversals, but I don't know. For some reason, I kind of connected a little bit more with the ladder match. So I would say Cameron Grimes and LA Knight was my favorite match of the night with the main event just a hair behind it, as far as the least favorite match of the night, I have to go with Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez. Because you work on the shoulder, it doesn't even come into play for the finisher, and the kick with Xia Li, it kind of connected, but it didn't really connect. And I honestly, I don't know what the height disparity is between Xia Li and Mercedes Martinez, but that might have been a part of why it didn't look all that great. So yeah, that's probably my least favorite match of the night. So I'll give it a 6. People saying that a 6 is harsh. Is it really harsh? I mean, I'm trying to read. You know what? You know what? I agree with you. And I'm not just kissing ass. I agree with you. I'll give it a 7. I'll give it a 7 because you know why? A lot of what we saw tonight, the nostalgia was fun. Todd Pettengill was fun. It had the 90s theme to it. And you know what? Not, there wasn't any match that sucked. You know what I mean? Like if Mercedes Martinez and Xia Li would have sucked, then yeah. So no, you're right. You're right. So I'll give it a 7 out of 10. I think it was better than average. The matches were not disappointing, but I think that in a lot of what we saw tonight, there were parts where it really did fall flat. It really did. So yeah. Before we go, AS7607, she says, Dexter Lumis looks like jacked up barbershop quartet member. She's not a fan of him. Wow. He is still my favorite wrestler in NXT. And yes, I know what his character, he has done gots in the ring. He has done next to nothing in the ring. DT, how could he be? Because I envision how much further they could go with this guy. And I don't want him. You remember the book? Was it Of Mice and Men? Wasn't there a guy in the book that almost came across as slow? Like, I don't want him to be that slow that seems a little bit, you know, a little mentally challenged up here or maybe very childish, you know. And they did that with the Austin Theory storyline. Oh, we watch cartoons all day. You know, it's like, okay, what are you trying to make Dexter Lumis be? You know, they portrayed it as a kidnapper because he technically did kidnap. But all he did was watch video games or play video games or watch cartoons. It's like, what are you trying to make him out to be? This 30-something-year-old person, you know, he's like a 12-year-old trapped in a, or 15-year-old trapped in a 30-something-year-old's body. So I will tell you this, if they don't do something, and not just kissing Indy Hartwell, they don't do something with Dexter Lumis soon, he will no longer be my favorite wrestler. Because he just connected with me. Just connected with me. Shout out to Charlie Conway. Yeah, family's all right. My parents are in Florida right now. Doctor forced them to take a physical and mental break, you know, for my father with the heart surgery and everything. So they are forced to take a break. He'll be coming back on Father's Day. And I got a little dilemma too, because we got the pay-per-view on Father's Day and I'm definitely seeing my father for Father's Day. So I got to figure out how I'm going to do this. So either there's not going to be a pay-per-view recap that night for Hell in a Cell, or I will see my dad until around 6 or 7, come back to the household, watch the pay-per-view and then do a recap. So Neil Ray says, Cross is an animal. Love the match. How's my dad? I just said, Dad's in Florida. So, you know, he's doing all right. I saw him without a shirt the other day. And, you know, the scar doesn't look as extreme anymore. I've never posted the photo here. I posted it on Patreon once and I took it right down because I thought it might have been a little bit too personal. But, you know, I know that was one thing that really was just rattling his brain. To see literally from here all the way down to your belly button, a giant scar because they literally cut him open. You know, now, you know, he's getting some little chest hair back and stuff. So, you know, he looks a little bit better. So he's forced to take a little vacation right now. So, no, Sam, I don't think I will be posting that picture. You know, it was a little too personal, but, you know, it just to show like how serious it was. But he looked a lot better the other day. And I think he seemed a lot better, you know, up here. That kind of like fucks with your mind, man. Because I even said to him, because, you know, he has the crushed vertebrae. And I know a lot of you remember he was in the hospital like 3 years ago. And he's had both knees replaced. He's got to get hip replaced. And even the therapy he went through for the knee replacements, he said to me that pain-wise, he said this wasn't that big of a deal. He says, but when you're about to go under and you don't know if you're going to survive it, he says that, you know, he cried all night. He just, it fucks with your brain. Like, you think, like, any day, that's it. You know, when you're told, you know, that this close to the Widowmaker, you know, that's something you don't want to hear. But, oh, he's a tough son of a bitch. You know, my father is the toughest person that ever came across. And, you know, a lot of people are like, how do you do all these shows? And how do you keep up with this schedule with your personal life and insurance and this and that? I definitely got the work ethic from him. But trust me, sitting on my ass doing podcasts is, it's work. Because I, you know, sacrifice a lot of time. But compared to what he's done in his life, that's why, you know, not to get political here, but whenever somebody dares say that my father's got stuff because of white privilege, they have no fucking clue what my father had to do just to put food on the table. So my father never graduated high school, grammar school. So, you know, but anyway, it's not about that. Tonight is about NXT TakeOver In Your House. So on a scale of 1 to 10 after rethinking it, 7 out of 10 I think is very fair. Favorite match of the night, Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight with the Fatal 5-Way, a very, very close second. Least favorite match, Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez. So, yeah, Mike, I saw what happened to that soccer player today. It was just so sad to see them all, like, with a cover, like, so they couldn't see. It's going to happen in sports. It's always going to happen. And now with everybody having a camera phone and everybody, you know, it's, you're going to capture more footage of incidents. Compared to 15 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, you're going to capture a lot more footage that we would not have had years back. Let me just say this. I don't mean this to end this on such a morbid note, but let's be honest for a second. In this day and age, I think, seriously, I think we are all grateful that Owen Hart did not pass in 2021 or 2017. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if that would have happened within the last 10 years, do you realize how much footage would have been caught and put online? You couldn't pay people enough. You know, you would always have, I don't want to say TMZ, but you always have outlets out there that would pay, oh, let me buy the footage off of you. So believe me when I tell you, I think that's something, seriously, I think that's something you don't ever hear or talked about on Dark Side of the Ring. And you don't ever hear anybody in podcast land ever bring that up. Be thankful that some of these tragedies happened at the time they did. Because if they happened now, you probably would have hundreds of video clips of it. And that's something I don't want to see. I don't want to see it. You know, the Jerry Lawler stuff, thank God he's okay. But the Jerry Lawler stuff, you know, just seeing him snoring, and we had that one camera shot, but, you know, you think even stuff that happened behind the scenes, fights, somebody just whips out a phone. Everybody's got a camera phone. A little bullshit fight backstage could lead to something tragic. Chances are someone at some point is going to whip out their phone and record the footage. So some of these tragedies that have happened years ago, I thank God we didn't have the technology that we have now with phones, because I don't ever want to see footage of that. I don't ever want to see that. So that's something, like I said, people, I don't think, I guarantee probably 90% of you out there never even thought of that aspect of it. So seeing now that soccer player today, I mean, it was just reminded me of the Jerry Lawler stuff. But still, it's like I see that, it's uncomfortable. So anyway, I am going to jet out of here. So in the comments section, let me know what you thought of NXT TakeOver tonight. You know, how did you feel about, you know, the main event, some of the stuff that I talked about tonight, your favorite match, least favorite match? I pretty much get back to everyone, interact. And one more time, for this guy, if you don't mind, Before you go, if you enjoyed the show, smash that like button. Like, share, subscribe. It helps. Leon, I tell you, you'd be surprised how much that helps. So I thank you for joining me tonight. And look, if you know anyone else out there that is not familiar with the shows, let them know about the show. You know, maybe they'll be converted. You know, maybe they'll curse you out for it. I don't know. But I thank you for tuning in. I don't think I have my outro video for tonight. I think I might have inadvertently closed it. So, yeah, let's just cut it for tonight. Now, tomorrow, Mish and I will be on for Breakfast Soup Raw. I'm sure we'll add a couple of comments from tonight's NXT. We'll talk about Raw as well. Remember, next week is Hell in a Cell. So we'll have some comments about Hell in a Cell. And tomorrow, for about 30 to 45 minutes, we'll take your calls. So if you want to call in tomorrow, you know, just have something ready to talk about. And, yeah, we'll have some fun. So, everyone, thank you as always. Much love. And I see you all tomorrow night. Ciao, everybody.